if you're thinking about using a teaser, there's one more thing you need to be aware of. The downside to using a teaser is that it announces that your envelope contains advertising, and a lot of people make it a habit to never open advertising mail. The real response booster. Probably the safest format and one that consistently pulls strong response is an envelope made to look like a personal letter. This is done by 1. Printing or handwriting the address rather than using a label. 2. Carrying a return address made up of your first initial, last name, and address. 3. Avoiding any mention of your company name or logo. 4. Using a first-class stamp. I'm going to let you in on a secret. This simple format is so effective, it absolutely baffles me that it's so seldom used, especially by heavy volume mailers. The problem is that envelope printers and graphic artists have sold us a bill of goods about our envelopes needing more quote-unquote sizzle. Well, it ain't necessarily so. Look, nearly everyone loves to get personal mail, finds it necessary to open their bills, and has the least interest in looking at more advertising. Most people will open all their personal mail as soon as they receive it. They might open their bills or set them aside to be dealt with later. But of the mail that's obviously advertising, only some will get open, and the rest will take the direct route to the trash. So to get your envelope open and increase response, try making it look like a personal letter. Another strong contender. A window envelope that looks like a bill or other official document can also increase your chances of getting it open. People always open their bills. Nobody wants to risk ruining their credit rating by tossing bills out. Now, envelopes that look like personal letters and those that look like bills will both get your letter open, but I prefer those that look like personal mail. Here's why. People usually have warm, positive associations with their personal mail, but with bills and official documents, the main motivation to open them is fear. The fear of having something negative happen if you don't. And I don't like to see this kind of fear associated with your offer. My contrary advice. A little earlier I mentioned that all of the direct marketing consultants, books, and trade journals seem to agree that using your standard company envelope should always be avoided. Sorry, but I disagree. Again, it depends on the situation. Using your company logo actually works to your benefit when mailing to your house list. These folks have come to know and rely on your products or services. Many of them truly look forward to hearing from you. There are a number of companies that I do business with regularly. Using their products or services saves me time and money, so I make sure I always open their mailing. I'll bet that many of your regular customers feel the same about doing business with you, and you too can profit from using your standard business envelope when mailing to these devoted customers. Avoid this crucial mistake. Here's one more tip. Never use a gimmick that deceives or tricks your audience into opening your envelope. Besides the fact that I personally hate them, phony checks, devious teasers like official documents enclosed, and fake telegrams nearly always backfire. The basic message that they convey is that you're either shady or up to no good. If that's your first impression, do you think many people are really going to want to do business with you? I don't, and I hope you agree. What works best? Revisit it. The essence of what I'm telling you is that a number of different envelope formats can potentially boost your response, but the key ingredient is always your target audience. When mailing to new prospects, teasers, personal letters, and business document formats can help you pull a stronger response. But for dedicated customers, your company logo can be a powerful motivator. The best way to put this information to work is to test at least 2 envelope variations. While good judgment can be a favorable asset, testing will always give you the definitive answer as to which format works best for you. Chapter 14, The Ultimate Direct Mail Secret. How to pull 8% to 22% response on every mailing you send. There are 2 things that are certain about direct mail. The first is that every mailer would give their IT to consistently pull better response. The second is that every mailer, which includes you, me, small-time mailers, and industry giants alike, has experienced weak to disastrous response, certainly more than once, and probably more often than they'd like to admit. Time after time, new clients call to ask me how they can increase their response and get better results. They're obviously disappointed with the response they got and frustrated with their attempts to correct this costly problem. And by the way, some of the people I talk to who have this problem are the biggest, most successful names in direct mail. I know you're in the same boat. That's why you bought this course, because your mailings are getting mediocre to dismal results. They're drawing minimal leads or making very few sales. And bottom line, they're not generating the kind of profits you need to keep your business healthy. Like many other things in this course, we're about to change all that right here and right now. From here on out, every mailing you make is going to be a rock-solid financial winner. In this chapter, I'm going to show you precisely what to do to lock in response rates from 8% to 22% every time you do a mailing. Response rates that generate the kind of profits you're really after. I'm going to reveal an amazingly simple, completely logical secret that can be worked four different ways to pull in more leads and orders than you ever dreamed possible. By the time you've completed this chapter, you'll have a powerful new arsenal to make sure all your mailings generate tremendous response and loads of cash. You will learn the secrets to successful, profitable mailing. The ultimate direct mail secret. By now, I'm sure you're burning to find out just what these secrets are that can completely turn around your mailing. And be assured, I am going to reveal them in just a moment. But first, I want you to understand in no uncertain terms how I operate. What I want you to know is that all of these secrets are completely ethical, as well as being amazingly successful. They are entirely based on common sense, which seems to be in rare supply in business these days, and are simple to implement. In fact, at first glance, they appear to be so simple, their full power may escape you. However, one mailing using any one of these secrets is all it will take to make you a dedicated believer. Next, it's important to understand that the success of any mailing presumes that you have a solid, ethical product offered at a reasonable price. In order to be successful, you have to deliver goods and services that make people feel like they're getting their money's worth. If not, I'm afraid there aren't any secrets that will make you a success in business. Okay, enough of my lecturing. Let's get to the heart of the matter. Secret number one, mail only to active customer lists. This is the foundation of all the secrets. All of the other secrets are actually offshoots of this powerful main concept. Now, what exactly do I mean by active customer list? Simple. I mean only house lists of either your company or other companies. Here's why. The secret to making really big money in direct mail is all in the back end. That is, the real profits come from the offers you make to your customers after the first sale. This is just a matter of common sense. Winning new customers will always be the most costly part of your marketing operation. With a typical response of 2%, the other 98% of your time, effort, and money are wasted. But when you mail an exciting offer to your active customer list, your sales will soar as high as 10, 20, even 30%. There are a couple of good reasons for this. First, you no longer have to overcome a customer's natural skepticism. You've already accomplished that with the first sale. Second, you should have a fairly strong sense of the types of products and services that appeal to your customer base, so the likelihood of offering them something that they'll buy increases significantly. Let's talk about the numbers that come into play when you fully work your back end. For our example, we'll say that you mail to an outside list of 5,000 prospects. From that, you get a 3% response, which means you've made 150 sales. and we'll say your average unit of sale was $40. Here's how the numbers stack up. $3,250 for marketing costs. It's 65 cents per piece, which includes production, postage, list, and letter shop fees. $450 production costs for the materials to fulfill your 150 orders. That's $3 times 150. $6,200 are your total costs. Then, $6,000 proceeds from sales. That's 150 orders times $40. That puts you at a $200 net loss. $6,200 in cost minus $6,000 in revenue. Whoa, those are some pretty frightening figures. It's enough to scare anyone away from even trying direct mail. But wait just a minute. What about the back end? Let's say you immediately follow up with a second offer just to those people who bought from you. If you delivered the value you promised and now have satisfied customers, you can reasonably expect a response of 20%. So now you have 30 more sales at $40 each for another $1,200. Your costs were next to nothing since your creative and list fees were picked up by your first mailing. Of the $1,200, you'll net around $1,050, which changes your total net in the 5,000 name mailing from minus $200 to plus $950. Not a windfall, but a solid profit at the very least. How to turn this secret into cash in your bank account. Now that we've got that matter behind us, here's where it really gets exciting. Now I'm going to tell you how you leverage this knowledge into truly huge profits. As you've already seen, the really big money is in back-end or follow-up offers. But it doesn't end with just a single follow-up offer. The truth is, you can follow up your house list as often as once every month and still get phenomenal results, 10, 20, or even 30%. The most savvy direct mailers do it all the time. If you're an American Express member, or if you've ever ordered from Walter Drake, Lands End, or Lillian Vernon, you know exactly what I mean. These companies lead the pack when it comes to back-end offers, and they've amassed fortunes by doing it. You see, savvy marketers realize that the real money is in the lifetime value of a customer. The lifetime value of a customer is the average length of time a customer will stay with you and how much they'll spend over that period. Direct mail fortunes are made by recognizing and taking full advantage of the lifetime value of your customer. Look, if you know that each customer, on average, will bring you $630 profit over their lifetime, you realize you can spend a lot more to win that customer up front and still profit handsomely. Smart mailers do it all the time. That's precisely how book clubs, record clubs, and dessert clubs operate. Record clubs give you 8 recordings for a penny because they know your future purchases will pay off in spades. They are strictly lifetime value, back-end oriented operations. How to kick this secret into high gear. But let's take this one step further. While I've just showed you the justification for taking a small profit or even a loss up front, it's not the main thrust of this chapter. I really use these examples simply to illustrate the power of back-end deals. You see, what I'm really advocating is that you never have to take any upfront loss to get a hugely successful direct mail business off the ground, or to make an already profitable business 3 to 4 times more profitable. All you have to do is vigilantly work your customer list. But what do you do if you don't have a customer list? Or if your customer list is smaller than you'd like and you want to add hundreds, even thousands more proven buyers to your list? It's easy. You simply use someone else's active customer list. That is, you take advantage of all the time and money other companies have spent in developing trusting relationships with their customers to grow your own list. Now, I'm not talking about renting names from some other company's list and mailing to those names. We've already seen that there isn't much, if any, front-end profit in doing that. The most lucrative way to use an outside list. Here's what I'm really talking about. In order to get the highest response from a list, the list must be a house list. And this is the other key ingredient. The mailing must be done under the heading of the company who owns that list. I'm going to reread that paragraph to you because it's so important. In order to get the highest possible response from a list, that list must be a house list. And this is the other key ingredient. The mailing must be done under the heading of the company who owns the house list. Now, that idea that I just presented to you is the cornerstone for building a direct mail fortune. In other words, you need to get other companies to offer your products or services to their own customers in an offer that comes directly from those other companies, not from you. Do you begin to see the power in this? What you're going to do is take advantage of all the time and money another company has already spent to make an offer that will pull phenomenal response and give you plenty of hot new customer names you can add to your list and follow up on to your heart's content. It's really very easy to do, and it actually costs you less than a mailing where you rent a prospect list. I'll show you exactly how you accomplish this in another section of this chapter. For now, what I want you to remember is that the key to pulling tremendous response with all your mailings is to always mail to an active customer list. And it doesn't matter whether it's your own house list or someone else's house list. There's one more point I want to touch on before we move on. I want to answer a question that might be gnawing at you about what I've just shown you. That question is, if this is such a great idea and a number of companies have built direct mail fortunes by using this concept, why don't all mailers do it and do it all of the time? Well, I'm glad you asked. The answer is, I don't know. In fact, it baffles me as to why everyone doesn't do it all the time. Look, this isn't a concept that mysteriously works just for certain products or services. It's a powerful money generator that can be used to sell anything that's saleable. Yet few, if any, mailers ever use it to their own financial advantage. It beats me as to why, but I have a couple of ideas. First of all businesses seem to have one thing in common. They tend to get into a rut as to how they conduct their marketing. Even when a seemingly great idea is offered, very few companies will get off the dime and try something new or different. It's as if they have tunnel vision and can only see certain narrow, predictable ways of marketing. Now, I've got to tell you, this includes a lot of giant, highly successful mailers. For the most part, there probably isn't more than 5% difference between the methods used by most of the successful direct mail companies. That's particularly astounding when you consider that the direct mail industry loves to spout off about how much more effective direct mail is than general advertising. While that is true, the same people who rant on about general advertising being stuck in a non-productive rut are on the front lines of maintaining their own less than optimal rut. I guess that's just human nature. Okay, what's the moral of my story? The moral is, you don't have to get stuck in a rut. You can keep your mind open and cash in on anything that comes along that offers you a distinct advantage. Listen, I didn't invent backending. It's been around for many more years than I have. All I've done is take a new approach to backending. I've broken it out of its own rut. I did this by simply wondering about how to get the immediate advantage of backending without the years of upfront work it takes to develop a customer base. You can avoid the rut too and be as profitable as you'd like. All you need to do is take the simple yet powerful instructions contained in this chapter and then put them into action. Then sit back and reap the profit. Secret number two, how to use your house list to grow your business by 20% to 50%. First, a brief review. We've already seen that back-end offers sent to a house list of customers who know and trust you can regularly pull response rates of 10% to 30%. Once you've established a track record of fulfilling customers' needs, it's only natural that they'll want to do more business with you. In fact, the profits in working your customer list are so significant, you should actually structure your business to exploit this. Here's how I advise you to structure your resources for maximum profit. 60% of all your marketing should be devoted to tapping the full potential of your customer list. 25% should be devoted to converting your inactive customers back to active. 15% should be focused on finding new prospects and trying to convert them to new customers. In addition, do anything and everything it takes to keep your customers as long as you possibly can. They represent the least expensive and most profitable channel of business you'll ever come across. Converting inactive customers to active repeat buyers. Converting inactive customers to regular repeat buyers deserves a good deal of your attention. It's highly likely that you lost the majority of them because of disinterest. Either you didn't offer enough products to satisfy their needs, or you never made specific offers after your first sale. Whatever the case, reactivating old customers is far easier, less expensive, and more profitable than getting new customers. All you need to do is send them a "We've missed you" letter. But don't make the mistake most companies make when they try to reactivate old accounts. Most companies send out a letter that starts off with "We've missed you," but immediately shifts to talking about all the fine things the company has accomplished lately. That's a critical mistake that will kill sales every time. People don't care much about you, your company, or your new building. That's not a criticism, it's just a fact of human nature. What people want to know is, what's in it for me? And by showing them precisely what's in it for them, you'll convert more inactive customers to active than you ever thought possible. Here's how to go about doing it. The key to writing a letter that will win back old customers, or calling them on the phone if you prefer, is to remember the lifetime value of your customers. If you know that each customer represents a profit of $100 each year for you, you can easily offer them something at cost or even a loss and still have a healthy profit. You should offer them a product that they truly value at a ridiculously low cost and tell them it's a goodwill gesture on your part to get them back as a valued customer. Keep in mind that your true objective is to do whatever it takes to bring these folks back into the fold. By doing this, you're guaranteeing your financial future, because each customer you reactivate will do more and more business with you as you kick your back-end offers into gear. Getting new customers. You should really only focus about 15% of your energy and resources on finding new prospects and converting them into new customers. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to imply that building your customer base isn't important. It most surely is. But the most profitable companies know and benefit from the fact that the big money is in repeat business to a dedicated customer base. Anyway, once I show you how to get 8% to 22% response from your mailings to new prospects, you won't have to worry about getting new customers. You'll have more than you can handle. How to work your customer list for maximum profit. There's really no great mystery to using your customer list to reach your full profit potential. All you have to do is mail regularly and frequently and feature a solid offer. At the very least, you should be mailing out an offer every 2 months. The really successful companies mail out once every month. I know what you're thinking. You're wondering if your customers won't get sick of seeing your offer so frequently. The answer is no. American Express has a powerful back-end campaign of 1 to 2 mailings every month to their customer base. So does Nightingale Conan. You can be certain that mailing this frequently is very profitable. If it wasn't, companies couldn't afford to continue this practice year after year. A great offer, the key to back-end sales. A great offer can make or break your back-end campaign. There are a number of ways to structure an offer so it has strong appeal to your customers. Here are some of the ways to induce your customers to do more business with you. 1. Make a time-limited offer. Putting a time limit on an offer increases the urgency to buy. I prefer time limits of 14 days, although 30 days can also be used successfully. The longer the time limit, the less urgent the appeal. Always tell your customers why the time limit is in effect. Seasonal availability, manufacturer special, being able to hire additional staff to fill the increased orders just for a limited time, and only being able to guarantee such a low price for a short time are solid, common sense reasons. 2. Make a limited availability offer. Let's say you sell clothes and you come across a small supply of handmade cashmere sweaters. Since they're in limited supply anyway, why offer them to all your prospects and customers? Instead, offer them only to your most valued customers. Tell them that through a stroke of good fortune, you've been able to secure a very limited supply of these fine garments. Also, tell them that because you value them as a preferred customer, they are one of a select handful of people who will receive this offer. Then, make it undeniably clear that the supply is limited. Once they're gone, there won't be any more. And here's a hot tip. If you want to sell out even faster, tell your customers that because of the limited supply, you're only allowing a maximum of 6 sweaters per order. Then, watch your multiple orders shoot through the roof. 3. Offer your regular customers preferential treatment. In this example, let's say that your product is books. When you make an offer, you might provide the hardbound version at a special discount to preferred customers, or offer to monogram the purchase for free or at a discounted price. There are endless ways to offer preferential treatment for every kind of product and service imaginable. Find those that work best with your products and customers. Then, use them to boost your profit. 4. Pamper your regular customers. Offer them special prices, special discounts, limited supply goods, free shipping, free gift cards, holiday specials, uncompromising service, friendly advice, and anything else that makes them feel special. That's the key to building and keeping a loyal base of repeat customers. Everybody loves to feel special, including you and me. I've gone to the same service station for many years because of the special treatment they gave me many years ago. I was having my battery charged, and the mechanic put a rubber holding ring on my muffler for free. I was going to do the job myself. It only takes 2 minutes, and the rubber ring costs about $1. The ring keeps your muffler from rattling. Because of this one kind gesture, I've given the service station all of my business for over 6 years, and I've recommended them to many of my friends and neighbors. Treating people special has multiple positive effects. Your customer feels great, you feel great, and it's great for business. With all that going for it, this powerful tool deserves a prominent place in your marketing plan. 5. Take the time to thank your customers for doing business with you. This isn't really a technique as much as it's just good manners and common sense. After all, your customers aren't just a source to be pumped again and again for more profits. They're the people who make your good fortune possible. They deserve some thanks every once in a while, and some sincere thanks at that. There's nothing I hate more than receiving a birthday card from some insurance agent pre-printed with "Dear Client" and signed in typeset print with the agency name. It's cold, uninviting, and a complete turnoff.